Welcome to another
Welcome to Outsmarting Brain Injury with Penny and Kathy M., a program about outsmarting brain injury by taking control of your life and having fun doing it. Penny Condal is the founder and executive director of the Brain Energy Support Team, one of the country's premier support networks. Kathy M. is the creator of the BrainBook Life Management System and its electronic counterpart, My Bionic Brain. They've each used their own experiences outsmarting their brain injuries to lead the life they want, and are now sharing those tips and tricks with you.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Penny Condal.
And I'm Kathy M.
This evening's show is about what outsmarting brain injury means and why it's important. And this is our debut show, and after discussion, we'll open the phone lines for you to call in and ask questions and share your own strategies. Kathy, I'm excited to talk about outsmarting brain injury. I was really struck by your use of the phrase. I first learned about this term last year when you came to visit and you worked with me on My Bionic Brain. Can you share with us how you came up with this term?
I'd be happy to. Perhaps I should share a little bit of history, though. I had a brain injury 22 years ago and was fortunate to have $1 million of insurance that paid for a good part of my cognitive rehabilitation. That meant I lived for 5 months in a residential facility with 20 to 30 other individuals with brain injuries from whom I learned strategies and tactics. One of the most powerful things I learned was that it's not so much how hard you work in rehab, but to a large degree, it's how smart you work. I learned that from a therapist. Then I worked on various strategies with my peers on and off for about 5 months until I had a list of strategies and tactics that worked well for me to outsmart my own brain injury.
Awesome. You and I have talked about how it's our hope that we can share with our audience some of the fascinating things that you and I have learned as ways to outsmart our own brain injuries. My injury was a little more recent in 2003, and I wish I realized then that I could outsmart my brain injury. I found myself regularly saying to doctors and rehab specialists, these strategies are great, but I can't seem to keep them for more than a day or so. So I needed a strategy for my strategies about strategies. Yikes. Do that with a brain injury.
No kidding.
For me, the greatest education has been the growth that's come from the amazing network I found myself in 3 years after my brain injury. Unable to work because of my seizures, headache, and executive function challenges, I found the Tacoma Brain Injury Support Group, and I met such amazing people who are so knowledgeable and inspirational to me. Many of the listeners who listen to Brain Injury Radio, Kathy, have heard some of these local TBI family, like the amazing radio show host for the Monday night show, Nick D, and our equally amazing husband, Paul Giese. Maybe you've also heard Tommy Manning, who shared his story not long ago. And while he's not a part of my local group, in 2009, I met my TBI brother, Kevin Phillips, and his amazing wife, Maggie, who sits on our best board. I've learned so much from these folks, and I'm so appreciative to all of my TBI family that I've made over the years.
Well, I so appreciate having a support network as well. Mine has been very important to me over the years.
I just so strongly believe and watch daily the miraculous things that happen, you know, when a person finds or creates a good peer support system. As an example, I'm blown away with the family that has been created through Facebook's TBI groups. It's amazing to think back where our movement was 5 years ago compared to today, To all you who are a part of these networks, I really salute you. I know that we will be the change that's needed to perhaps help others to move more smoothly or more gracefully through finding valuable life after brain injury. You know, it's amazing how many people in our community have not only stories to share, but strategies and tactics of their own to outsmart their brain injuries. How about you, Kathy? Is there a strategy you'd like to kick our show off with?
Well, the first one I recall has to do with reading for comprehension. I was very frustrated after I woke up out of my coma with not being able to remember anything that I read. I could read a sentence and not be able to tell you what it said, certainly not a paragraph out of the newspaper. One of the strategies that was suggested to me was simply to read things over and over again, basically until they were memorized. However, in the course of working with other people who were working on the same problem, I found that when you summarize a paragraph and then write a summary sentence afterward before moving on to the next paragraph, it stuck in your brain better. So I developed a reading strategy over about a 2-year period of time for myself that took several years to perfect, but it's now something I actually teach. The idea is simple. After you read a paragraph, you write a summary note. That summary note gives you the foundation and context for the next paragraph. So you keep doing that throughout a section, and each paragraph that you read has more meaning. So to me, that's a good example of how to outsmart your brain injury.
I love it. That's beautiful. And recognizing that what you're trying to get is the core of what the paragraph said to you, right?
Habits, that's right.
Yeah, habits are such an important strategy to create as we go along, and so essential.
Well, visual cues are also important. I've found visual cues to be very helpful over the years. I use visual cues for all aspects of my life, including putting labels on my laundry basket so I don't have to remember where I put the clean or the dirty clothes. Or I sometimes use colored baskets. I'd use a white one for clean clothes and a blue one for dirty clothes so that I can know what to do without overburdening my memory.
Yeah, it's amazing how important strategies really are for those of us with a brain injury. I always talk about how before my brain injury, it took me 3 steps to make a pot of coffee, and now it's 25 steps. And at any one of those steps, I have the potential to get stuck and not be able to move to the next step.
Indeed. One of my peers from about 20 years ago, a young woman named Angela, taught me how to use something we now call steps cards in my program. She used them to plan for summer camping trips.
Oh, yeah. Steps cards. They've been invaluable to me. I use them not only for making coffee, but I use them for things like how to print a document or how to log on to the internet or how to check my daughter's grades online, even how to get messages off my voicemail. And if I get stuck or life interrupts me at any point, I have a steps card to get me back on track. So I guess I say thank you, Angela.
Well, other strategies that I use are simple things like color codes that I use on a consistent basis. For example, green for routines or blue for cues. I also use yellow for highlighting things that are important. If I can use these color codes or rhyming strategies even, or other strategies that support memory, then I don't have to rely on remembering what my routines are for. Let's say garbage day. I've got all that on a piece of green paper or a green routines card, or in the software that I work with now on a green routines screen and in the green routines section of my bionic brain.
Right. And I know we want to talk about all kinds of strategies on our show, and truly the brain book and the My Bionic Brain are tools that offer a way to use a lot of strategies we've been talking about, like visual cues, notes to help with comprehension and recall, steps for getting things done, routine sections, and more. You started sharing your strategies years ago when you were invited to Seattle. I think you participated in a conference and you talked to others about brain injury. That was way back in 1994, right?
Yes, M. Finley, founder of the Washington Brain Injury Association's LIFT program, asked me what I would have to share to other individuals with brain injury if the conference invited me to speak. And at the time, all I had was my personal, original brain book. I created it for myself after leaving rehab. To my surprise, people came up to me afterward wanting the strategies I'd been talking about in the brain book. From that beginning, I built my company, Cognitive Harmonics, and the Brain Book Life Management System. Now we have My Bionic Brain on the iPad and even the iPad Mini.
Well, thanks to M. Finley for inviting you to that conference. And thank you, Kathy, for My Bionic Brain. And it helps me enormously. It's a key component to the training BEST offers in our BEST Peer Mentoring Program. Kathy, I'd like you to talk a little bit more about your experience in rehab. Just from what you've shared already, it sounds like your experience was very different from mine. I'd love to hear more about it and how it played such a significant role for you.
Well, I was fortunate. I had $1 million of insurance on my car when the crash happened, and I was living in a no-fault insurance state, which meant that there was no litigation. Within a couple of months after I got out of the hospital, I was able to move into a residential rehabilitation facility, many of which don't exist anymore for those of us with a moderate brain injury. Insurance companies have cut back tremendously with the level of rehab available for cognitive rehab. But a powerful aspect of my rehab was that I had the opportunity to network with 30 or more individuals with brain injury over 5 months' time. It was a huge learning experience and a real opportunity.
Yeah, that makes sense. Before my brain injury, I was a medical social worker in a hospital, and I could have swore to you at that time I knew what people with brain injury needed after they left the hospital. Then I had my brain injury, and I recognized I really had no clue what that meant afterwards. As I said earlier, it wasn't until 3 years after my brain injury that I found my support group, and I learned some of the most significant strategies that still help me with my executive function issues. As I said earlier, it wasn't until 3 years after my brain injury that I found my support group, and I learned some of the most significant strategies that have helped me in my executive function issues. So I totally get how valuable peer support is, which is why we focus on it so much at BEST. One strategy I'd like to share is that we had a discussion in my support group when I first started attending around initiation, which is a big issue for me. One of the women in the group said that when she had this problem, that if she was going to the store or she couldn't take the first step towards something, she would sing it to herself. And it actually seemed to trigger something in her brain that allowed her to move forward. So I think it's always helpful when we can find strategies that help us move forward in the direction we want to go.
Initiation is a big issue for a lot of us. I, too, have struggled with that one. One thing that worked for me was when I gave myself permission to not go to the store, but just walk out the door. It was so overwhelming to me to think about going to the store, particularly the grocery store, and having all my senses assaulted and my memory challenged that I just wouldn't go. I couldn't get started.
Mm-hmm.
I found that if I could say to myself, I'm going to walk out the door, and if I feel like it, I'll get in the car. And then if I got in the car and actually made it to the store but didn't want to go inside, I gave myself permission to go home. Eventually, I was able to follow through with the entire event, even though I still had problems with initiation. Well, one thing I'm excited about with this program is not only sharing our strategies and those of our guests, but hearing from our listeners. I really see our show as the discussion that allows us to do that. Listeners can call in to share their strategies, share them in chat, or even post them to the website or call in an email. The website, by the way, is outsmartingbraininjury.com.
That's a great idea. It was something I was desperate for a couple years early on. I don't remember the month I was in the hospital, but when I came home, I remember spending day after day on the internet looking for things about how to live successfully and become happy with this new person I was after my accident.
We could share so many strategies on a wide variety of challenges and talk about the contribution of our listeners on this show.
I love it, and I'm sure our listeners do too. There's so much happening these days around brains and brain injury. I'm so excited to be able to invite people like Dr. Harriet Ziner, who's the developer of the CRADER model, and Dr. Tim Feeney, who's doing great work with errorless learning, and others to the show that are involved with research and education and innovative approaches to working with brain injury. I know they have a lot to share with us about outsmarting brain injury. So in keeping with our philosophy that we learn from each other, let's open up our phone lines to our listeners to call in and share what outsmarting brain injury means to them.
Great idea.
Wonderful. So it looks like our first caller is from the 585 area code. 585, are you on the line with us?
Hi, this is Fantastic Frank.
Hey, Fantastic Frank. Thanks for calling.
You girls are doing a great job. I'm curious, are you both in the same room doing this or not?
We're not, actually. Thanks so much for asking, and thanks so much for listening. I'm up in Tacoma, Washington, and Kathy is down in Oregon, down in Medford, Oregon. So we're actually a long ways apart.
Are you both reading from a script? And I hope I'm not giving out secrets, because I run my Blog Talk Radio show by myself, and I don't know how people can do this without having a script or having a partner here. So I'm curious, is that your secret? Have you read a script? Are you reading a script? It sounded like you were, but I wasn't certain if you were.
Fantastic, Frank. You truly are fantastic. This is Kathy M. And yes, indeed, I was reading from a script, in part because that's how I'm able to function these days. I even use a script before I go into a meeting, and I'll work on it ahead of time, because I'll go blank if I'm trying to just operate from memory.
Well,
so we don't
want to sound
like
my
script too much. But
now, do you have someone who is running the studio, a third person?
We do. We are so fortunate. Gloria Kregel is my partner, and she actually is doing all of the studio side. So she's allowed us to work on getting the initial script and then being able to talk to callers as they come in. So Kathy said it just right.
This makes me feel better, because I do two Blog Talk Radio shows a week, don't you?
Right, absolutely. I've heard several of the Blog Talk Radios.
My first one I do in the afternoon, I have a woman who I call Marvelous Michelle here, and she helps run my studio, and I don't have many callers during the day, but she has me set up these questions. I have to, before the person even agrees to be on my show, we send out a protocol letter. And if I'm giving away too much of how this works, please bear with me, because it's important that people know that I'm not able to do this without help. And that's one thing you have to do is that you have to have a plan whenever you do anything. That's one of my things to fight my memory problems, is to have a plan.
Well, Frank, what I love about your call is you're absolutely right on point. And that's exactly the kind of thing that I hope the listeners are getting out of all of this. I'm running a company now that I never thought I'd be able to operate. I multitask daily, all day long. Couldn't do it without the help of a wide network of people who are supporting me. And that doesn't mean that we can't become more independent and autonomous, but we need to be not afraid to ask for help from the people around us who are part of our team and our network. And one thing I love about what Penny has done is she's actually put a huge network of mentors together. So I can call people now to help me in a variety of areas that I don't have experience in, and they're all folks with brain injury who are there to help. It's just a wonderful, beautiful network.
Now, which one of you, was it Penny or was it Kathy, who won $1 million when they got trapped when they were in the automobile accident?
It was Kathy. I had $1 million of insurance on my car, and
that,
virtually all of it was used for my rehab.
That was all used? You used it all up already, though?
Oh, it was almost all used up in the first year, between the orthopedic injuries and the brain injury rehab and surgeries and all of that sort of thing. But a good portion.
And when
of it
was that? What year did that happen?
That was in 1990.
That was 22 years ago, wasn't it?
It was. And things have really changed in the landscape of insurance these days. If I had been injured 2 years ago instead of 22 years ago, I would never have gotten that level of rehab. But insurance companies have cut way back over the years unless you've had a really severe injury like Gabby Giffords, for example.
Well, Gabby Giffords is a unique individual. She was in Congress, first of all, and she had the full support of the country behind her.
Yep.
And she had the contacts to do everything. and that's why I love her. She took advantage of her resources. That means everybody has to take advantage of every resource that's available to them.
That's
one of my tips. One of the things I do all the time.
It sounds like that's one of your strategies. Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy. I apologize. I was just thinking, Frank, it sounds like that's one of your strategies is being able to create those. Yeah, and I am always such in awe of people who do a good job at being able to advocate for themselves by building good networks around them. So that's beautiful.
One of my techniques I use is called your Scooby Ears and Eyes, which is a chapter in my new ebook, which is going to be a published ebook soon, print book. And what your Scooby Ears and Eyes is using your reticular activating system. Everybody has one. They don't know how it operates. So if you want, I try and explain this to you right now.
Well, I have another caller waiting on the line, but you know what? You know what we've been trying to do, Fantastic Frank, is Kathy and I would love to put together a website where we can be able to point people to some of these strategies. And, you know, you probably know, like me, that different things work for different people with brain injury. And, you know, I've learned so much from peers like you. So I wonder if you wouldn't mind maybe if we could put you on hold. And then we're
As long as you come back to me later on before your show ends, because I want to ask you both to do something, if you'd be a question. Thank you.
Okay. Oh,
and the other thing, Frank, before you leave the line, is I want to point out that we're looking for topics in the future to both explore as well as to invite guest speakers for. So both to you and others who may be listening, if you have ideas that you'd like to share on the program, please dash us out an email and let us know that you're interested, and we'll get back to you. I think that's a great topic, and I'd like to consider it for future shows.
Thank you. That's great. I will do something like that.
Thanks, Kathy. And that reminds me that I'd love to put out a reminder that we have a new email address if anyone would like to contact us and share some of this via email. And that email address is questions@outsmartingbraininjury.net. I think in the initial part of the radio show, we may have said .com. And I apologize for that, but if you look at outsmartingbraininjury.net, you'll be able to see our brand new website that we put together today. And so we'd love for people to participate. Kathy, are you ready to take area code 484?
Sure.
Does that sound okay? Okay. Great.
Hello.
So, hi. Who do we
Jenny.
Have on the line? Hi, Jenny.
Yeah. I was really, really interested in listening to you guys because the idea of strategies of outsmarting a TBI has been something that I have had to focus on totally, committed to for the last 2 years of my life because I only had my injury 5.5 years ago. And I only finally discovered after coming off all the drugs and all the things that kept me in everybody else's control that I had to figure out how to outsmart what was going on around me because I was a new child starting all over. And what I realized is having the disconnect between the left and the right-hand side of the brain and the gray matter and the nerves and the axons and all the medical mumbo-jumbo, what actually happens when we first come and start getting our cognitive skills back is we get stuck in a moment. Whether it's a distraction or something that scares us or we just can't figure out what something means, we get stuck in a conversation. And so we can't go any further from that moment. So what I realized, I had to find some way to get past those moments, because that left me in a confused, panicked fog. And to fight my way through it, I had to find humor, distraction, lifts, where I could check off, which means accomplishments of things I had gotten past. Organizing, which was horrible for me, because I could see what I needed to do, but making sense of it with the left side of my brain, organizing it, was absolutely impossible. So I have stickers that labels everywhere. I have folders. I have places where I know my things go, and I always know they're always there. And so it helps me know my surroundings and makes me feel safe. Also, I found that I had to learn to love and like the fact that I am now a child again. And I have to learn to be a child, embrace that child, let it out, and nobody, and not care about what anybody else thinks, and just enjoy stomping in the mud, rolling in the grass, laying and looking up in the clouds, and just laughing and having fun for now, for the rest of my life.
That is beautiful. I love it.
Very well put.
Absolutely.
I think I said it better myself. Thank you.
Yeah. You made so many great, great points. And thank you so much for calling in. I love your conversation around stuck in a moment. I wrote that down. I hear so often in support groups us talking about that stuck in a moment, you know, time, and a lot of us with brain injury know exactly what that means. That's a nice way to say it, so thank you for sharing that with me.
Well, what it actually means to me is I still have no concept after 5.5 years, and I think most of us, even after 25 years, like Kim Justice or Fantastic Frank, after all his years, this the concept of the passage of time, unless there's a clock in front of us, we don't understand it. It does not make sense. So we get stuck in a moment, and without the distraction, we can't get past it. And what I found, for most people that are able to handle it, one single pet, usually a dog, will help you by instinct get past that moment, because it will know that you're in pain, it will know that you need comfort, it will do something silly which takes you out of the moment, and it helps, and it makes you give your heart to something else. It makes you take yourself out of yourself and your own pain and focus on something else that needs you more.
Right, that's a beautiful
excellent point, because I know a lot of people who have brain injuries who use service dogs for just that purpose, and they're very powerful companions and wonderful tools, and it's just a buddy that you can love, but it also serves other purposes in your life after an injury. So that's an excellent idea. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, the perspective of time is such an interesting one. I'd love to share one of my challenges. I have a very similar, I would end every day and say, I've done absolutely nothing today, even though I had done a lot. But my perspective of the things that I did over the day was strewed. And I recognized once I started actually recording what I was doing and then being able to, in Kathy's system, I orange out, which means it's done. I have some, like, physical representation that I did, and it was amazing what that did for my self-confidence at the end of the day, to be able to look at it and say, okay, I did actually finish some things, or, you know, I didn't have perspective for that before. So for me, that was definitely a strategy for outsmarting the frustration piece around my perspective, my messed up perspective of time. So thanks for bringing that up.
Absolutely. And I also wanted to bring another point that I was talking about when you were talking about getting out of the stuck moment.
Mm-hmm.
Is one thing I really, really feel strongly about is lift. Because because when we put things down, it gets us out of our minds, and so we can get to the next moment. We can go back to it later. So I totally recommend for everybody to get maybe two, one in your kitchen, one in your bedroom, eraser marker board, and every day make new lists. Get rid of what's already been done. It doesn't matter what's left. They're still on the list. Whatever you erase, you add only one and never put more than five. Too much information is overload, which makes us disconnect, which makes us confused, and makes us lose interest. But if we limit it to five and on that list in our kitchen of what we plan to do for that day, doesn't matter if we get it done or not, but we see it. In our bedroom, it's what we remember before we go to bed or that we know we want to do the next day. At least it gets out of our mind and we can get past that moment to move on to the next.
Well, if I could address that point for just a moment. Penny, do you mind? Lists are very interesting. And I was a real list maker before my injury. And I still use them, but I use them as worksheets because at least my time passage problem or my sense of time problem happens when I look at my schedule and I don't have things listed on my schedule that I should have put from my to-do list. So I agree with you that lists are very important and we need to keep them manageable. But at least in my situation, I have to take things off a worksheet list and put it on my schedule or I run the risk of not doing it. And that was actually something I learned from a speech therapist back when I was in rehab. She saw all my lists of things to do and suggested that I start assigning dates and times to them. And at first I was a little resistant because, you know, who wants to put the time, the day and the time down for vacuuming the floor or getting gas for the car? But when I started doing that, I found that things would happen almost like magic. I wouldn't run out of gas anymore because I had it down for every Saturday morning to fill up the gas tank. So anyway, if that's a strategy that's useful to anyone, it might be something worth trying if you are so inclined to schedule things that are on the to-do list.
Well, the reason I really wanted to bring up lists is I have been with Craig and TBI Network since about October 25th. So I'm kind of the newbie and the baby in the group, and so I have to speak from a new TBI survivor's perspective. And coming from the fog and all the confusion, I realize that making lists makes it more easy for us to understand how to organize. And that's all.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Are a lot further along than I am.
No, and I agree with you. It's just that if you find that your lists get a little overwhelming or unmanageable, checking things off or not necessarily checking them off, but moving them to a schedule might be a way of dealing with lists. Instead of lists 101, you're now dealing with lists 501. So you're in the graduate school of list making by assigning a date and time to it. But the concept is still the same. We need to be able to see what we need to do in front of us and get a sense of accomplishment by checking them off or oranging them out, whatever tactic we want to do for that. So it's an excellent point.
Yes, and I totally agree with you because they work in different levels at different levels of our recovery. And it's not a recovery. It's a new life. So I hate the word recovery because we're not just survivors. We are, as I heard from, I think his name is Keith Allen, we're thrivers, which means we're thriving to make that next step and take the next safe step towards where we want to go. So as we each go through our stages, like you're probably at stage 5 or stage 10 compared to my stage 1, our list will grow or develop as we go. But in the beginning stages, organization has to be done with. I still have stickers on my dresser drawers that have been there for 5.5 years. And if I don't read the labels. I don't even know where my underwear is.
Mm-hmm.
My closet is labeled as we speak.
Pardon?
I have my clothes organized by color code. So I have blue, it moves from blue to black to brown to beige, whatever. But I wouldn't remember where to hang up my clothes if I didn't have labels on my closet.
Exactly. And so lists can take all kinds of different forms, whether it's basket that we keep next to our mirror in the morning. It has all our makeup and our morning routine. We know where our brush is, where our makeup is, where our perfume is, where our powder. Whatever we use every morning, we know that basket represents our morning routine. Just like you recognize certain colors mean certain clothes. That's what I mean by list. Too much is too much information, and that's overwhelming and shuts us down. But short, little, meaningful abbreviations or places can remind us to refocus and take us out of the moment and get us back to where we need to go, where we want to go.
Well, with that in mind, maybe you'll appreciate another term that I've come up with for us and them, if we want to look at it that way. When you were talking about all the steps that you go through to know where your cosmetics are in your bathroom, for example, I look at the way that we need to live as being extraordinary. And I look at the way that people live who do not have a brain injury yet as having an ordinary life. I don't like the word normie and survivor and those kinds of terms. But I do like thinking about ordinary life and extraordinary life. And I really believe in my heart that we have an extraordinary perception of things. We go through extraordinary effort to live day to day. And we make extraordinary accomplishments simply by getting up in the morning and making it through our day. So I like to think of ourselves as extraordinaries.
I absolutely love that phrase, and I have written it down because I intend to use it because I think it's true. What most people don't realize is everybody is supposed to only have one life from start to finish. But we have been blessed as people that came back with a second life, a second chance to start all over again.
Isn't that beautiful? That's right.
Back up and let us find out who we want to be now.
Well, in one of these days, we're going to have Penny talk about her perception of life after brain injury by giving us basically a kind of extrasensory perception that many of us with brain injury have a really unique and special and beautiful way of looking at the world that we didn't have before and that many of our non-injured peers don't have. And it's just a really interesting way of looking at life after brain injury. Instead of struggling and surviving to overcome deficits, Penny just has a really wonderful way of looking at things from a completely different, paradigm-changing perspective. And I hope she'll talk about that in a future show as well.
Yeah, sounds great. I you know I love that conversation. Beautiful. So, Jennifer, is your name Jennifer? Is that right?
My legal name is Jennifer, but after my injury and I came to, and after I pushed away all the people trying to remind me who I used to be, I came to the conclusion that all I am is just Jenny.
Jenny. Did you have a legal name change to that?
No, I'm still Jennifer legally,
okay.
But in my heart, okay. In my mind, in my instinct, I am just plain Jenny.
Yeah. The reason I ask is I've had several friends after their brain injury that have changed their names. And, I think part of that, at some point, I'd love to invite Dr. Tim Feeney, who's I think he's in Vermont right now, but he talks a lot about rebuilding identity after brain injury and how, how after our brain injury, we do have a new self and that identity is different. And when society tears that down, you know, we have to kind of find a new home for ourselves. So I really appreciated that from when you were talking.
Well, my name changed after my injury, but I don't think of myself as having changed it.
Mm-hmm.
I had been known in my past life as Catherine. And when I woke up out of the coma, I was asked, you know, what's your name? And I said, it's Kathy. So I didn't change it. It just got changed after waking up and becoming a new person. So that refreshed my memory about how all that happened. So thank you, Jenny.
Interesting. So, Jenny, can you think of anyone, can you think of anyone that would be interesting for us to interview on here and ask them about questions about how to outsmart brain injury? Is there anyone that you're following and finding interesting?
I actually do this every night, 7 days a week, because I am in a chat room. I listen, and sometimes I call in and I share or I talk or I ask questions, because this has become 7 days cognitive therapy for me at home in my safe zone where I'm comfortable and I can just be myself. I've learned how to communicate,
mm-hmm.
make myself understood, understand what people are saying, able to read and type, which means I'm having fun and learning, and I don't even realize I'm learning to multitask. So it's therapy.
That is beautiful. Good for you. It is amazing. It's amazing with technology and the internet and the ability. After my brain injury, I think I was probably home from rehab maybe a week or two, and when I got online, I found tbichat.org. And for the first couple of years, I spent a lot of time connecting with my peers online, and just was such a beautiful connection, and you know, really important for me helping to understand who this new person was going to be.
Myself, I went for 5.5 years until October, never meeting one other survivor.
Right. Well, I can't even imagine that.
I was feeling alone, just rejected by society, and had no idea how to find out who I was for me until I found Craig's site.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was in a place where I was connecting and hearing from other people that had walked a mile in my shoes, different destinations, the same difficult, confusing, foggy journey. And it made me feel a connection, like I wasn't alone. So this is something that has become a family to me.
It's beautiful. I lead two large support groups in my area, and when people call to ask about the group, I often have probably half of the time they end up crying and they say, I can't believe there's other people out there like me. You know, I've lived for, you know, 10, 15 years, and I didn't know there were, because people don't like to talk about these things out in public. You know, whatever was hid in my head, I talk about it all the time to everyone, everywhere I go. Drives my family nuts. But, you know, I think the more that we provide, like, chat rooms and provide places like Facebook that people can connect, it is just, it's incredible to have watched where this network has gone, you know, even in the last, you know, 5 years or so.
Or even in the last year. I mean, there's been so many changes in the last year. The technology and the networking, it's been fabulous.
Well, what I have found that has been very, very helpful to me is by having something I can do on the phone or on the internet in the safety of my home, because women, we are the most unrecognized in the TBI community. I don't care what they say. We're not sports figures. We're not political figures. We're not military. We are not outspoken, and we're very shy. So we're kind of the last ones in groups I'm sorry. I don't care how many groups there are out there. I'm sure they are wonderful. But women, especially, I find for myself, personally, I am terrified of groups. It's too confusing. And I have issues, like I have to find out and figure out. I'm born in a child's mind in a grown woman's body with all these different issues. I can't talk about that in public. I can't discuss sexuality and discovering, you know, who I am, menopause, hormones, relationships, abuse, sexual rape, anything like that in a group setting. But one-on-one, and this place has helped me feel not so alone. A one-on-one is so important to the people that are just too afraid to enter the doors of a group setting and share what they're dealing with, because they're going to get overwhelmed by too much information coming in that may not relate to what they're dealing with.
I agree with you, Jenny. There's a lot of people in our network, and for me, even though I lead the support groups, one of my support groups is quite large, it's very overwhelming for me too. And so this is why our nonprofit is creating our Project Peer, our peer mentoring project, because, you know, the one-on-one support is huge, and, you know, that's really important. I want to make sure, though, we've got about 10 or 15 minutes left, and I promised Fantastic Frank we would bring him back on because he had a specific question. So I just wanted to make sure that I put that out there. We don't lose Fantastic Frank.
Well, and Jenny, stay in touch, please, because I think you've got an awful lot to offer all of us.
Absolutely.
You may be considering yourself a newbie, but you have a lot to offer.
I'm not going anywhere, hon.
All right. That's good.
Cool. Or as I usually say to all the women, to my sisters.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Sounds good. Okay, let's see if we can get Fantastic Frank on the line. And I wrote myself a note that he had a question for us, so I want to make sure we don't lose that.
Okay, do you have a book out or something like that? I was doing something else while I was listening to what you said. So didn't you say you have a book out?
A book?
Kathy, I'll let you answer that.
A book out.
I'm sorry, Frank. I don't understand your question.
You have a book out.
Have I written a book?
I think he may be asking about the brain book, Kathy. He may be wanting to understand better what we were talking about when we talked about the brain book or my bionic brain.
Yes. Is that a book that's written or not?
Yeah, so why don't you...
If you're asking if I've published...
Is it a manual or something like that?
Oh, I just want to make sure I understand your question. If you're asking if I've published something like a book or something along those lines, the answer is yes, but it's probably not the kind of book that you're thinking of. It's not a book like you would buy off of a shelf. I wrote something called The Brain Book System years ago that was basically it's like a day planner for individuals with brain injury. It was much more elaborate than something that an ordinary person would need. It would have a section called green routines where you would keep all your green routines cards for daily, weekly, and monthly and periodic routines, that sort of thing, or a talk to section to organize communication. But it was more like a day planner that you would use. It's not a book that you would read.
I think this book has to be gotten out there. I think you could be promoting this. It could make you famous. It could influence people to do something. You could also make some money. I know you aren't worried about making money, right? You don't want to make money from anything you're doing, right?
I'm definitely in business, so that's not the issue. I just wanted to explain that the work that I do now is electronic. So I've created something called My Bionic Brain, which is actually an iPad application. It is the old brain book system on steroids.
Well, because I've started, every week I send out a newsletter to people. And one of the TBI groups in Rochester has picked this up in this newsletter. It's nothing, it's just my thoughts. And I have a woman who writes these, she takes my thoughts, she writes them into these beautiful letters. And if Jen, it might be someone on here who gets my newsletter, I don't know who signs up to get them, but I found out 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that a woman locally, she runs a TBI support group, a day program, and every Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, she goes and prints them out and she discusses them to people. And they talk, they actually help people. So you've got to have that done to you, too. I think that'd be great.
That's an excellent idea, but what I'd like to find out from you is how I can get your newsletter.
Go to my website, www.IamFantasticFrank.com. It says it's here. It's a cartoon character. She's pointing to a book or something. It says it's here. Put your name and your email address in the autoresponder. Then when you get the reply, then you have to hit yes. It really was you. I didn't put your name in by. I didn't compromise you by put you in for nothing by getting your name from someone else. Then you get put in my orders. You get one or two, I don't possibly two or three different things a week. I don't know how many orders, but it's not overwhelming. At the bottom, everything, it says, if I'm not serving you, it says, get me the hell out of Dodge. It doesn't say that way, but you click on the button and you're removed from my autoresponder right then and there.
Well, I'm going to sign up as soon as we get off the line here. So thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
I look forward to that.
Thank you so much. And, Frank, it was so nice of you to call as another host and welcome us on our first night. So just from my heart, I want to thank you for doing that. That's very beautiful. Yeah. Thanks.
Great job.
Such a beautiful network. Our next show is going to be December 1st. And so we'll probably do the same thing, you know, in outsmarting our brain injury. We'll probably do the same thing and have a script again to get it started. So you can probably appreciate that one, huh, Frank? So I also like to thank Jenny for calling. It was wonderful to have her on. And I want to thank everyone for joining us. And Kathy, I want to thank you for all these wonderful strategies. And I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, you know, on a personal level, for all that you've shared.
Well, the feeling is mutual.
Yeah, and I apologize. I thought we were just in a minute or two. Don't you love that?
Thought what? I didn't hear you.
I apologize. I thought we just had 1 or 2 minutes left, so I was trying to wrap up, but it looks like we have 7 minutes left.
Well, and I have an email that someone sent in that I'd like to talk about, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, this is a great time to do that. Yeah, thanks.
Question is this: what can we do to stay on task, especially when the phone rings and distracts me, or my kids interrupt me, or make me lose my train of thought? My mind wanders now, and I forget what I started working on or what I wanted to do. And I think, Penny, you have a strategy that I've seen you use in front of your computer on a little black clip that I thought maybe you could share with us.
Oh, I love this strategy, and this is one that I learned from you, and it's called a focus card. And I can tell on days that I am tired or that my brain really is moving slow, that having that focus card in front of me. And the focus card, you can kind of tell a little bit about the specifics, Kathy, about what it looks like, but it is a way for me to be able to visually reorient myself to what I'm supposed to be working on right at that minute. So it gives me a place. And so what I learn, what I teach myself, is when I need to understand what I'm working on, if I do get distracted, if I do look away, I've got a place where I can go to reorient myself to what my intention was in working on the task. That makes sense. Is that a good way to explain it?
That's an excellent way of explaining it. What I like about the focus cards is it really uses our brain injury, the so-called deficit, as a strength. And what I mean by that is we all know that we're very distractible. It's very easy to pull us off task. And what I like about the focus card is it puts something right in front of me that I use to distract myself to stay focused on what I need to do. So if the phone rings, all I have to do is look back on my card or look back in the direction that I've got my card posted, and I can distract myself from the distraction to get back on task. And to me, that is the ultimate irony and beauty of brain injury, is if I know what my strengths are, I can use them to outsmart my brain injury. And for me, right. One of my strengths is distractibility.
Exactly. I love it. I think some of these conversations are even bigger than just around brain injury. It's about how do our brains work, and having some place. We've taught ourselves that anytime I don't know exactly where I'm at, having one place where, you know, out of habit, my eye goes to look there. I can tell, you know, I've become so accustomed to having that focus card or that focus worksheet in front of me that when I don't, I can recognize that I'm a lot more scattered, I'm a lot more all over the place, and I'll get into six different tasks at once, and none of them will go where they're supposed to. So,
well, now that we do have only a couple of minutes left, Penny, could you share with us how we would get to the best website? And then maybe I'll share mine as well and invite people to contact us and send in their questions or just be in touch with us so that we can develop more topics for future programs.
That's a great idea. And there are quite a few websites probably that we could share. The one for this radio show, I just put it up today, so it doesn't have a lot of information, but we want to be able to share some of these strategies. And it's called outsmartingbraininjury.net. And we'll put that in the chat room. And it's a new site. So that's one for the radio show that we're doing. For the nonprofit that I have, it's the BrainEnergySupportTeam.org. And the acronym for that is BEST. But BrainEnergySupportTeam.org is our nonprofit website.
And there's two T's in it. It's support team.
That's
I make
right.
that mistake
support
all the time.
Team. Brain Thank you. That's
it's brain that's energy, a, not brain injury.
Exactly.
Brain Energy Support Team. .org. And then mine is mybionicbrain.com.
Yeah, and I really recommend, you've got a great movie on the front page of your website that allows people to see, you know, your new software, the My Bionic Brain. I think it would be great for people who have a question around what that looks like. It'd be a great place to see that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, let's see, how are we doing on time?
We have 2 minutes left.
Okay. So, I think the other part I'm going to share, great, I'm going to share two more websites. One is bisgn.org, and that's the site that we do around support groups. So, if you're interested in leading support groups or finding support groups in the Northwest area, there's a lot of training videos that you can watch. The other one for the peer mentoring is projectpeer.org. Check out either of those. So, Kathy, we've got a minute left. I want to thank you again for co-hosting this with me. I wouldn't have done it without you. I love you. You're awesome. This was
well, thank
fun.
You. And the feeling, again, is mutual. So thank you, Penny.
Very cool. Well, then I'll see you December 1st. And I also want to give a big thanks to Gloria Kregel for doing the backside. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Fantastic Frank and Jenny. You guys are awesome. It's great to have you on our first show.